Let us pray. Father God, though I be the preacher this morning, and is it not the voice of this preacher that we hope to hear, it is thy voice. Father, speak to us, we ask. May thy voice resound over the voice of this preacher. May it overwhelm this preacher's voice to the point where we hear nothing but thee and from thee. Speak unto us, O Lord, through thy word. All we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The theme that has been chosen for us this morning and this afternoon is grace. Grace. Thomas Brooks said that grace is the ring of gold and Christ is the sparkling diamond in that ring. You see, if I was to speak to you about grace, I'm speaking to you about that golden ring. But that golden ring is not truly complete unless that sparkling diamond is in place. For we speak of a particular grace today, and particularly this morning. In our reading, Paul spoke of himself as another, didn't he? I knew a man, he said in verse 2, a man blessed of God in a very particular manner. He had seen and heard things that were not lawful for a man to utter in the third heaven, paradise, but he refused to boast of himself, didn't he? He refused to glorify himself before men. Paul was careful not to give any man any cause to praise him or to think highly of himself. They gave no cause to give anyone to glory in him, in anything that he was in himself. No, he refused himself to glory in anything that he was or anything even that he had become under the hand of God. No, he said he would only glory in his infirmities. We read in verse 7, and indeed we read earlier, that God himself had given Paul a thorn in the flesh, lest he should be exalted above measure in the estimation of men, on one hand, but also in his own estimation, in his own heart. There's been endless debates throughout the centuries concerning Paul's thorn. Some say it was a physical disability. Others say it was a weakness of the flesh, even unto sin. But whatever your personal opinion of what that thorn might have been, whatever your belief in the matter, one thing is certain. God himself gave Paul this thorn. And God gave Paul this thorn for Paul's good. Now it was painful, either physically or even spiritually. It was painful for Paul because he prayed, didn't he? Thrice, it says in our version, thrice he prayed for God to remove the thorn, but God did not take it away. And for all that we know, this thorn tormented Paul the rest of his day. But this thorn had a good purpose. It was given for Paul's good by the God that could only do good. It kept Paul humble. It kept him humble. Perhaps for the rest of his life, this thorn, this pain, this pricking, this messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh, humbled him. And it kept him from exalting himself, and therefore being exalted by men. But it did more than just humble him, didn't it? It did more than that, because really it humbled him, yes, but it also caused him to lean upon God and to rely upon God for the rest of his days. The verse I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is that blessed verse that you'll find in verse 9. Just a phrase, actually, from that verse. And it's these words: "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, when I was preparing this particular sermon, by the time I got to the end of the consideration of "my grace is sufficient for thee," I knew that there was no way I could preach the whole verse in one sermon. We would not have any dinner, and we would not go home today, this afternoon. In fact, really, we could ponder this for the rest of our days. But what I would like to do, if you'll allow me, is to split that phrase into two. And this morning, I'd like to consider with you, "my grace is sufficient for thee." And then this afternoon, "for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And by seeing that as a whole, we shall understand, as I have said already, that this thorn caused Paul to lean upon his God and to rely upon him completely and totally for the rest of his days, if that thorn was not removed. It humbled him, yes, but it did so much more than that along with it. It gave him a greater understanding and a greater estimation of just what it was to be empowered and enabled by God himself unto service, to do that which God had prepared Paul to do. But let's concentrate first on this first portion of the statement that is made by God to Paul. A statement that not only gave Paul a reason to put up with that thorn, but even to glory in and take pleasure in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. "My grace is sufficient for thee." As is my way, I'd like to split this into some smaller sections. The first thing I'd like to point out to you is that it begins with these words: "my grace." My grace. Well, the verse begins like this: "And he said unto me." Well, the Lord our God is speaking. He spoke. And so when we read "my grace," we are speaking of God's grace. Now, I'm sure that we all have an understanding of what grace is, but just so we're all on the same page, as it were, I looked it up in the dictionary to have a definition given. And the dictionary says that grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. In fact, one version said it is the free and unmerited love and favor of God. And I think that's a better definition. Grace, the free and unmerited love and favor of God. Now, there is such a thing as common grace. You'll be aware that all the world and all men are under a common grace. God is good. And his grace extends so far even unto all men, unto creation. God loves that which he has made. And men prosper, don't they, in this life, though they give God no thought. God gives good gifts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, said the hymn writer. Yes, there is a common grace that the world is under, that all men are under, but we're speaking of something more than that this morning. We're really speaking about a grace that is particular. And we're speaking really of the covenant of grace this morning. Now, that's the agreement between God the Father and God the Son to save all God's elect people from their sin. The covenant of grace between the Father and the Son to save all God's elect people from their sin. And those who are under that covenant of grace, those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are saved, They are in a state of grace that is far and above a common grace. It is a state of grace that is an undeserved position of love and favour. And it is the position of all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in the covenant of grace are in this state of grace. And they are beneficiaries of grace in an abundant measure, which not only extends to this life, but even to the life to come. It is a grace, you see, that is the saving grace. It is that amazing grace that the hymn writer wrote of, that saves a wretch, even one like me. Christ paid for our sins upon the cross, and in his life he earned righteousness for us. He came, you see, to this earth to live and to die. And he came to do all that was necessary to redeem, to save God's elect. He came to fulfill and to complete this covenant of grace that he had entered into with the Father. And by his life and by his death, he fulfilled all of that covenant. He made it happen. He made it so that all of those that were in that state of grace, in the covenant of grace, would be beneficiaries of grace, even unto eternal life, even unto sin forgiven, even unto being robed in the very righteousness of Christ himself, even unto eternal life in new bodies, made perfect, even holy, even radiating and reflecting the very glory of God in heaven. The covenant of grace, you see, was fulfilled and completed by Christ, and it is in Christ alone that we find salvation. It is in Christ alone, because only Christ can bring a believer into the very courts of heaven. For it is Christ that shed his precious blood. It is Christ that is the mediator between God and man. It is Christ who is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man may come to the Father but by him. You see, by grace ye are saved. There's that golden ring. Grace. But Christ is the sparkling diamond in that ring. And if it were not for him completing that glorious covenant of grace, that circle of grace, that never-ending and eternal grace, if it were not for him being in place on the very throne, the throne of glory, if it were not for Christ, then we would simply be under a common grace. Not a saving grace. But you see, Christ came. And he lived and he died and he rose again. And he sits seated at God's right hand even now, interceding for the saints. Dear friends, that's why we may now approach God. We go through Christ and we plead his blood and his merits and his righteousness. And they are all afforded unto us by faith. We are beneficiaries of that covenant of grace. We live today in a state of grace because of all that Christ has done for us. And day by day, you see, he continues by the Holy Spirit to work in us, to sanctify us, to set us apart, to make us more holy, to prepare us for eternity, that we might be made even more like him. Truly we are blessed, and eternally so in Christ. For we are under that covenant of grace. And if you believe today, if you're a believer, if you're in Christ, one with him, you are in that state of grace, and you are a beneficiary of that grace, even unto eternal life. Therefore when God says in our verse, my grace, we must remember that he is speaking to Paul. He is speaking to a believer. And he is saying, my grace, my unmerited love and favor in Christ Jesus. is sufficient for thee. My grace. And there's an important lesson to learn, and one that you and I need to consider more often. I know I do. And it's this. God is speaking to Paul. And he said unto me, my grace. Yet, does God love his children in an unequal measure? Is the grace of God held back? Is the love and unmerited favor of God in Christ given only in a portion? It's worth considering that, isn't it? You see, if God's grace, as he's speaking about it here, is given to all men and women in an equal measure, then the grace that God is speaking about to Paul, this grace must apply to us in the same measure. So can we say that this grace is poured out fully upon all believers? Well, are some saved more than others? No. We are all saved together, one in Christ. Let me put it another way. Do some believers have only underneath them one everlasting arm? Or are the everlasting arms under all who believe? Dear friends, the scriptures teach us that underneath us all are the everlasting arms. And underneath you, believer, the very loving arms of God to carry you even to his very bosom for all eternity by Christ Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee unto salvation for all who will come. That grace is sufficient, poured out in full. Was that blood upon the tree? The wrath of God was poured out in its fullness upon Christ, that the very love of God might be poured out in its fullness upon those for whom he died. Can we believe it's true? For it is. We must get a grip of this. I believe it. I must get a grip of this. That as the full weight of the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ upon the tree, it was poured out in all its fullness so that there would be none left to fall upon me. It was all upon Christ, wasn't it? All that wrath was poured out upon him, and now, through Christ, all the very love and favour of God may be poured out now upon me, even a sinner such as I am. I stand today, you see, as one who is saved by Christ, by faith in him. I stand before you today as one who is saved by grace, the very grace of God in Christ. And I believe that the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ, that I might be spared that wrath. Now grace is poured out upon me in all its fullness. Now the love of God is poured out upon me in all its fullness by Christ Jesus. Now grace upon grace upon grace is added unto me in this life, as God leads me by the very hand into eternity. Dear friends, God would pour out upon you and I grace in its fullest measure, his love in its fullest measure, his unmerited favour in its fullest measure. And I may say that this morning, for I know this to be true from the scriptures, that God worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. And my God is love, and my God is good, and he worketh all things together for good to those that love God. Do you love God this morning? Do you love Christ this morning? Are you in Christ by faith? Have you come to God pleading that precious blood that it would cleanse you from your sin? Have you come to God through Christ pleading His righteousness, knowing you have no righteousness of your own? Have you come to God through Christ? Have you come in faith believing that He died upon that cross and shed His blood for the remission of sins? Have you come to God through Christ? Then you are in a state of abundant grace. Amazing grace. And you are a beneficiary of grace, even eternally, as the love of God is poured out upon you in Christ. The grace of God, the unmerited favour of God is poured out upon you in Christ Jesus. Now that should give you and I reason to rejoice today and every day. And I pray it does. I pray you think of these things often, for they are glorious things. My grace, says God, is sufficient. And we've said it's sufficient unto eternal life. And we've said that we live under this same grace, the same grace that Paul lived under. We're living in the same unmerited love and favour of God as Paul was. And we've said that God's grace is sufficient eternally, yes. But it's also sufficient temporally. While we tarry here upon the earth. Underneath us now are the everlasting arms, you see. We are now in that covenant. We are now in that state of grace. We are now benefiting from that grace today in our earthly lives. To be in the grace of God is sufficient eternally and temporally and experientially day by day as the circumstances of life come at us, toward us and around us. Look, God is able and God is willing that out of every circumstance good may come. God is willing to make every crooked path straight if it leads you to Himself. If it leads you to where He is, He will lead you on. And through the circumstances of life, day by day, through the temporal days of this life, you will be led by God, by the grace of God, by the hand of God, in the love of God, in the unmerited favour of God, you'll be led. And His grace is sufficient unto every obstacle. Whatever that mountain may be, He will make it low if you need to pass over it. His grace is sufficient. Well, whatever it is you're facing today, I do not know what you're facing. What your troubles are today, what's in your heart, your mind, your life, your circumstance, I do not know. But I do know this, that the grace of God is sufficient. The unmerited love and favour of God in Christ Jesus is sufficient. He will make a way. He will do you good. He will lead you to Himself where He is in glory, for He has promised to do so, and no obstacle of life, no trial or circumstance, no suffering, no sorrow, nor joy can keep you from His heavenly cause. For His love is upon you in Christ Jesus. His unmerited favour is upon you in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ. It's very interesting, isn't it, God's response to Paul when he prays for the thorn to be removed. Because in effect what God says is this, Paul, you don't need your thorn removed. What you need is my grace. That's what he's saying. You do not need your thorn removed, Paul. You need my grace. And Paul, you have my unmerited love and favour in its fullest measure in Christ. Dear friend, what's your thorn? What's your thorn today? As I've said, there's been many debates about what that thorn might be. What's your thorn? Are you praying for it to be removed? And God's not taking that thorn away. Don't miss His voice when He says, you do not need your thorn removed, you need my grace. And you have all you need in Christ. You have my unmerited favor. You have my unmerited love. He merited it all on your behalf. And now because he has done all and won all for you, you have all in him. My grace is sufficient for thee. And that's important that we conclude with those words, for thee, for it says this to us this morning. God is personally attentive to us. It's for thee that it says. And God said to me, says Paul. Well, God says to you, and he says to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How important those words are, that we know when God speaks to the individual. We have God's personal attention. And look, there's a certain promise here. It says this, my grace is sufficient. Not might be, not maybe, not will be. My grace is sufficient. And notice that this is a particular situation. Paul prayed and God heard his prayer, didn't he? And God answers him in his need. But he doesn't answer as Paul hopes. You see, if God had answered how Paul had asked God to answer, then it wouldn't be all for Paul's good. Because if the thorn was removed, it wouldn't have kept him humble. He would have perhaps been tempted to exalt himself before men. Men perhaps would have been tempted to have thought greatly of Paul, greater than he allowed them to. No, this thorn had to stay. It had to stay. And I don't wish to make light of your thorn, but I have to say it again. Could it be that the Lord needs your thorn where it is? Even though, like Paul, you would rather be rid of it. Oh, how I long to be rid of my thorns. I have thorns. I think we have many. I would be surprised if Paul only had one. But we only read of one in the scriptures, so I can only speak of one this morning. From Paul's perspective, but from my own, I can tell you that I have thorns. And I pray that they would be removed. And yet I have to come to the conclusion that they need to stay. And I have to perhaps listen a little harder for the voice of God when he says to me, you do not need your thorn removed. I need it where it is. What you need, Craig, is my grace, for that is sufficient for thee. And Craig, you have my grace by Christ Jesus in all its fullness. You have my unmerited favor and unmerited love, for Christ merits it all. And you are in him by faith. The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. Are you in the Son? Are you one with him? By faith, are you one with him? Then the God who is love loves you and can love you fully and without measure because of Christ. And him crucified for you. As I've said, those debates still rage on. What was the thorn? Well, we don't know, and I'm glad. Because I think if we knew what the thorn was, we'd focus even more upon the thorn than we do now. And you know, the one thing you and I must take away from this morning is this. The reason why the thorn is not spoken of, in my opinion, in a very clear and definite manner, is because God would not have us focus our attention upon the thorn. He would have us focus our attention upon his grace in Christ Jesus. That's the theme, that's the object here. My grace is sufficient for thee. We must focus all our attention upon the grace of God in Christ. Or we may have a thorn in our flesh. But consider this. Your Saviour wore a crown of thorns for you. And they pierced His brow. And He was made sin for us. As nails pierced His very hands and feet. In the body He suffered every affliction with which we are afflicted, the Scriptures say. And upon His soul upon the cross of Calvary, He suffered pains and agonies we cannot begin to describe or imagine. He was forsaken of God, and He was left alone outside of the love and favour of God as He hung and He died for sinners such as you and I. He was forsaken. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? For this reason, friends, so that we would never be forsaken by Him. Christ bore that punishment and was left alone and died alone outside the camp, that we would never be alone. He was forsaken of God, that we would never be forsaken. He bled and He died for you and I, for sinners such as we are, that we might be in that wonderful, beautiful, astonishing grip of grace. Beneficiaries of the covenant of grace, living day by day in a state of grace in Christ Jesus. And because of Him and Him crucified, no thorn can ever cause us to miss the glories of heaven. Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And this afternoon I wish to speak to you on the second portion of that phrase, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But this morning let us take away this glorious ring of gold, this ring of grace. And let us make sure that Christ, that sparkling diamond, is shining and sparkling ever brighter in our hearts as we remember all He has done for us and all He continues to do for us. Let us remember that covenant of grace and let us rejoice that that grace is sufficient for us. Amen.